Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us. If you just tuned in, we're glad you're here. If you've been listening already, well, that makes you a highly intelligent individual. Gary Sutton is a highly intelligent individual as well, not just because he's a member of our Brain Trust, although that's one of the indicators. Gary's an author, he's a speaker, he's a turnaround expert. He works with companies all over the world, helping them to put their best foot forward. He's the author of a book called Corporate Canaries, which is... The subtitle is Avoid Business Disasters with a Coal Miner's Secret. And Gary has lived long enough to the point where he has seen a lot of corporate canaries, and he shares them with you in this book. And he's our good friend. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, that introduction proves you've never seen my college transcript.
Yeah, well, we won't go there, will we, Gary?
Okay, thank you.
I promise you, I don't want to whip mine out either. Gary, one of the things that's in the news right now that I feel is worthy of talking about with the topic that you and I have in front of us, helping small business owners to see the dangers that could be coming at them and how to avoid them. I noticed in yesterday's Wall Street Journal that Ford's bond rating had been lowered to junk status. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it might be. I think that might be too high for them. I just don't see how Ford can get out of it.
But General Motors was reduced to B level only a few days ago.
Well, they share a problem. They share two problems. General Motors, they're out there making Escalades and Corvettes, and I'm trying to think of anything that's exciting coming out of General Motors.
How about a long time?
Yeah. And the only thing that has any appeal are the gas guzzlers, and so we both know that their retiree benefits, $1,500 per car, they're spending for promises they made in the past.
And Gary, I don't know about Ford, but in General Motors' situation, that's just health care for their employees and retirees. Just health care. $1,565 or something like that per car, just health care.
Yeah, and that number is going in one direction. That's up.
Right.
And as their sales decline, the number gets even bigger because you spread it over the cars they sell.
It starts creating what I've said to people whenever I've talked about things going bad, because this isn't my first rodeo either, Gary. I've seen a few things like this myself. And I've been in the whirlwind a couple of times myself. And that is that when it starts going bad, it seems to all go bad, doesn't it?
Yeah. But it just accelerates. When you start going downhill, it just moves faster and faster and builds on itself.
Right. So I will say another thing that I predicted a couple of 3 weeks ago on this show when we were talking about this topic, and I said that I predicted that within 3 to 5 years, at least two, or if not all three, of the American car manufacturers will be in bankruptcy, in Chapter 11 at least. What do you think?
I think that's a safe bet. And my only fear is that our dodos in Washington might decide to step up and save them.
And bail them out, yeah.
That means you and I.
Right. Well, but the thing is even if they go into Chapter 11, we're still going to have to save them to some degree. Well, there's actually multifaceted saving of them. One of them is to bail the company out directly, but the other is to do for them what has happened with United Airlines, which is where their pension, when United went into Chapter 11, their pension was then basically turned over to the government pension funding agency. I've forgotten the name of it. You probably remember the name of it. I can never remember it.
I've repressed it.
But you know what I'm talking about. There's a fund set up by Congress, by law, that is there to be a safety net for these pension funds, and I'm against the government bailing those things out. The government's not bailing me out for my pension.
I know, and everybody listening to this program is going to get dinged in the pocket.
That's right.
If they do that.
That's right. So it's not just direct to the company like they did with Chrysler back in the 80s, early 80s.
Yeah.
But there's also the indirect element through the pensions if they go into Chapter 11.
If you go to General Motors' website, or if you get their annual report, look at what the first page talks about. It talks about...
Hold on to that thought, Gary. When we come back, I'm going to let you tell us what that first page says. And then, folks, what we're going to do is we're going to take these kinds of... We're going to identify how General Motors and Ford could have seen these things coming, maybe made an adjustment, and solved these problems, and what that means to you and me, how that could look in our small businesses. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Gary Sutton is our guest. He's a business turnaround expert. His book is called Corporate Canaries, Avoiding Business Disasters with a Coal Miner's Secret. And, of course, the metaphor Gary is using here, many of you, most of you know, is the idea of the canary in the mine shaft. We've heard that metaphor for years, and that's the one, Gary, where the coal miners take the little bird down into the coal mine, and when he falls off his perch, they know they better get the heck out of the mine, right?
Methane leaking in, and the bird picked it up before our bodies do.
Exactly. And so I'm glad you wrote a book about this. I've used that, the canary metaphor, for many years. I know you have too, and it's a great one. It's a great one to get the point across that there actually are signs, there are indicators that we can all see, that if we just will pay attention, we'll slow down enough to pay attention and not fall in love with what we do so much that we can't see the indicators. That will keep us from making some mistakes. And I've done this. I've refused to see the truth and have made those mistakes. But let's look for a second at where do you think the canary fell off the perch for General Motors and Ford?
Two places. One, they made promises to their retirees that they couldn't keep back when things were fatter, before they had Toyotas and Nissans around.
You're talking the 50s and 60s, aren't you?
Yeah. And
how could they see 40 years in advance, ahead, though, Gary?
Well, anytime you add up costs like that, $1,500 per car, I mean, that's the kind of thing that they just needed to be a little tougher in their negotiations. And they're paying the price. But that's not all they did. The executive salaries are out of whack if you compare them with their competitors. That's a thing that doesn't get publicized as much because they don't want to chat about that so much.
Mm-hmm.
And look at 10 years ago, 15 years ago, Ford was focused. All their ads said the same thing. Quality is job one.
Right.
That's all they worried about, and they put out the Taurus. And the Taurus wasn't an exciting car, but it was popular, and
it was
profitable.
And it worked.
And they sold lots and lots of Tauruses. Then they got making money, and they forgot what got them there. And they went out, and they bought Aston Martin and Volvo and Mazda and Land Rover and Jaguar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so what did they become? A confused mix.
They didn't stick to their knitting, did they?
Nope.
That's an excellent point, Gary. And that's one of the things, I think small business owners can take away from all this. That's an excellent point because, and you're not saying that when it's time to morph, you shouldn't morph. You're just saying that you got to be careful. You got to know what you're good at. And before you morph, you got to make sure it can become what you're good at.
It's got to fit. It's not. I think Microsoft was a great example of a company that morphed when they finally decided the internet was real. They went completely into the internet. and they were profitable at the time, so it would have been easy for them to continue to ignore the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think Bill Gates did a magnificent job of morphing. He knew when to do it, and when he did it completely and made sure it fit. Ford morphed for no reason at all other than ego gratification.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've seen so many small businesses get into trouble because they've decided, well, we need to be a full-service company, or we need a complete product line. And all that means is you're not special or good at anything in most cases.
Or when a big company comes to you and wants to do business with you, mm-hmm. and you get so flat, you're so seduced by that you actually grow beyond your ability to grow, and you become beholden to that one company more than you should.
Well, when that happens, you know, it's you don't own your business anymore. You're not a small business owner.
Right.
The big is the small business owner.
Well, and that story has become infamous across the United States economy with Walmart and the small vendors in business with.
And it's hardly new. It's kind of like it used to be Sears. People would talk about the danger of getting the Sears business back mm-hmm. when Sears mattered. Mm-hmm. And that thing just repeats itself. It was Sears for a while, and then it was Kmart, and now it's Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk some more about what small businesses should take away from, you know, it's hard for us to imagine making the kinds of decisions, the kind of systemic decisions that the General Motors made with pensions. We're not going to do that typically. I mean, we might do it on some level, but nothing that, you know, that one or two people leaving wouldn't fix. What would be more likely to be an example for a small business?
Well, I think with a small business, you have a good year, or you have a nice big order that comes in, and suddenly you are making lots of money. You know what you ought to be doing then? Is you ought to be looking around and see where you can cut some costs.
You mean nobody when I'm the fattest, I should be enjoying the fat?
Nope.
I should be looking for some lean?
Yep. Nobody ever does.
Well,
you just
turned a skunk loose in the tea party there, Gary.
Well, I'm very sorry, but this tea party is that skunk is going to be smelling worse later if we don't take care of it now.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to do when you're, and that's in essence that's what the mistake General Motors and Ford made.
Mm-hmm.
Now the nice thing about small business. We find out quicker that we've made a mistake.
Right. The question is, do we see it, and do we take the action? And that's the problem we have. I have a question about compensation when things are going pretty good that I want Gary to answer, and he'll do that after these messages. How do we compensate our people in the 21st century? He'll have some good answers for us. Tintel, I'm Jim Blassingame. Gary Sutton is our guest. The book is called Corporate Canaries. Back, it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Gary Sutton is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, S-U-T-T-O-N. Gary, the book is Corporate Canaries. I know it's available wherever books are sold. Any other place you'd like to send it?
Well, I did a little inventory check in New York last week, and every bookstore I went into, about a dozen of them, had it on the shelf. So that made me happy.
Well, yeah. I'm not the least bit surprised.
Yeah. And the clerks seemed halfway aware of it and said it was selling.
Well, great. Good deal. And do you have your own website for the book?
I do not.
Okay. Well, we'll have to work on that, Gary. Gary, I was talking about compensating our employees. In the 20th century, and this is a General Motors model, too, in the 20th century in a Ford model, people salaries and maybe gave them bonuses at the end of the year, and oftentimes their income was based very little on their production. 21st century, we can't do that much anymore. Don't you think small business owners should take that lesson from those corporate canaries and come up with more creative and more leveraged ways to compensate our employees?
Absolutely. And the worst thing you can do for an employee is to overcompensate them. It gives them a false sense of security that can
and importance.
Yeah. And they get arrogant. it is an error that happens when times are good. And I hate to sound like Scrooge, especially this time of year, but you know, a lot of those. Think of those General Motors employees now, people that have been there 25 years, and suddenly their future is no longer secure, and they don't know how to operate in the world.
Right.
They've been trained the wrong way.
Well, they found themselves in communities that were so based on the automobile industry, they can't go across the street and get a job.
No. And guess what? You and I wouldn't hire them because we know that they're going to resent us because what we'll pay them will be a fair wage then, and they're used to more than that, and they're better employees.
So. Do you know about the job bank, the General Motors job bank? Are you familiar with that?
I have heard vaguely. Tell me again.
All right. Years ago, when they found the opportunity to add technology to their lines, the unions resisted any kind of downsizing because the people lose jobs, obviously. Well, General Motors, instead of not putting the technology in, they went ahead and put the technology in, but they let the people, instead of letting those people go to go find things, other things to do, because of their relationship with the union, they put those people in a job bank and made them to do nothing.
Boy,
some of them have been in the job bank for 10 years because it was cheaper. General Motors was more efficient with the technology and the people in sitting on their rear ends than they were not having the technology and paying the people. That's how much efficiency they got from the technology.
Anybody in that job bank, you or I would not hire them. 10 years. Paid for doing nothing, that person will never be productive. And if they are productive, then they're going to resent the employer that they become productive for. It's terrible.
The thing is I think the lesson to me there is that once you have to make a change, you got to make a change. And
yeah.
and it's never easy to let somebody go, but it's not doing anybody any favors to prolong the inevitable.
One of the companies I was with, we fired a new employee after 4 days, and I felt like that was a proud moment because we realized that there had been some misrepresentation made, so I didn't feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
We gave a month's severance, and that was done. And we were a little shocked, but it was exactly the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Once you identify that it needs to be done, you're not helping anybody by not doing it. And the thing is, you know, I've seen it happen before, Gary, where the person came back a year or two later and thanked the company for doing it because it was the chance that they needed.
Yeah.
And they went on to find something they actually were good at.
And when you know you have to let somebody go, you're degrading yourself. Seeing them in the hallway and
right.
smiling and holding it back, you're becoming a phony. You need to just do it.
And don't ever underestimate the fact that it may be happening. Other people may be. Way in the organization.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
book is called Corporate Canaries. The author is Gary Sutton, and as you can tell, he's a very smart guy. Gary, happy holidays. Thank you for being here. Let's have another one of these.
Let's do it, Jim. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Gary Sutton, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.